From the boardroom to the shop floor, good business runs on good governance. Join esteemed expert in governance, Dr. Nimrod Mbele, for the next hour as he takes us beyond governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beyond Governance here on 101.9 High FM. I'm your host, Nimrod Mbele. I am delighted once again to share this space and time with you as we unpack very intricate and dynamic global affairs and their impact on governance. Tonight, we're unpacking Ukraine, South Africa, and global diplomatic landscape, navigating neutrality, conflict, and cooperation. And to this end, we have a very interesting lineup, which I'll share with you in just a second. By way of the focus, the idea is to look at pivotal development in international relations. As I've indicated earlier, we're talking Ukraine and South Africa diplomatic dimensions. We'll be joined by, we've been told that the president of Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky, is scheduled to visit South Africa on the 10th of April to meet President Cyril Ramaphosa. The visit occurs in the context of South Africa's abstention from United Nations resolution condemning Russia's action in Ukraine, a stance which has sparked extensive debate and diplomatic, tensions, if you like. To delve deeper into these issues, we are honored to have with us Her Excellency Lyubotova, who's an ambassador of Ukraine to South Africa. Ambassador Abravitova brings wealth of diplomatic experience and insights into Ukraine perspective on these critical matters. We look forward to enlightening conversation with Her Excellency. Anyway, before we get into the gist of our conversation, allow me to thank Michael McKenna and his overdraft team. He'll be back on your radio tomorrow at the same time. Moving on, I want to thank Craig Guthrie, who's expertly handling all the technical aspects. And last but not least, a word of gratitude to Betty, who gracefully organized this interview with Her Excellency. Thank you very much, Betty. Meanwhile, if you miss any of our previous conversation, not to worry, simply go to High FM website, which is www.highfm.co.za. Download whatever podcast that you like and share your views with us. Talking of views, last week we had a very interesting and thought-provoking conversation with Cass Kevedia, who is the former CEO of Business Unity South Africa. In that particular session, we reflected on the B20 platform, which brought together businesses across the global world to discuss issues of trade and macro politics and how they shape these. You, as always, your thoughts and views are most welcome via our SMS line, which is 061-895-1019. And of course, your views and thoughts are most welcome via my X handle, which is @DrMbele. Without any waste of time, let me take this opportunity, as I've already declared in my open remarks, I'm joined by Her Excellency Lyubov Abravitova, who's an ambassador of Ukraine to South Africa. Ambassador, thank you so much for gracing Beyond Governance with your presence.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, dear listeners. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you very much for your time, Ambassador. Without any waste of time, obviously South Africa's position in terms of global stance is that of neutrality. How does Ukraine perceive South Africa's position of neutrality in its abstention from UN votes condemning Russia? And what are some of the implications for bilateral between our nations?
We respect the position of every country that is taken within international organizations, because this is what Ukraine actually is protecting today, the right of every sovereign state to have its position, to have it uninfluenced, and to have it sovereign, what it's called, what is in the core of it. When we speak about Ukraine-South Africa relations, we have to look at the consequences of Russian invasion for our relations, not the votes of any other particular country, because that's not what is involving or influencing our relations. What did influence relations of Ukraine with South Africa is the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And we can definitely all this discussion through different aspects, and both economic, of course, the food security, of course, the nuclear non-proliferation, etc. But I leave it for you to guide us through this discussion.
Thank you very much, Ambassador, for that clarity of thought in terms of what are the, some of the consequences that the visit will probably focus on. But talking of that, give us a sense of what your take is in terms of the objective of President Zelensky's upcoming visit to South Africa's key focus will be on.
Very important question for both countries. As President Ramaphosa already visited Ukraine after the beginning of invasion, the visit of President of Ukraine to South Africa is happening first time in the history of our bilateral relations. I mean, the visit as a working visit, because we had visits before in our diplomatic relations where we were attending different summits. And of course, this is one of the setups, but this is the bilateral engagement on the highest level that is hosted by South Africa and will be happening for the first time. So this is important to point out. Meantime, we have a really broad agenda, both bilaterally and multilaterally, that evoke during the engagements of foreign ministries and between other ministries within the cabinet of both countries. And I assume and I want to believe that this visit will be substantial. Of course, we are going to speak about geopolitics. Of course, we are going to speak about the continued Russian aggression and consequences of positions of different countries of the world for Ukraine, conditions for Russia's impunity. But I think that we don't have to underestimate the bilateral agenda that will come up. And I want to believe that this will give a strong signal and impetus for both civil society, business community to start growing in engagements and in collaborations.
Thank you very much for that insight, Ambassador. I think you're really giving us a good sense of what the role purpose of President Zelensky's coming visit to South Africa, particularly in the context of bilateral agreements, and obviously extending the conversation to include other, you know, at both cabinets, so that they're able to discuss geopolitical landscape and as you have pointed out, the implication of what you've defined as Russia's impunity and an extent to which these kind of conversation can create impetus to civil society to appreciate a broader context of the war in Ukraine. Ambassador, we're going to take a quick break in a second. When we come back, we'll get to hear more about some of the economic and humanitarian impact that you envisaged to shape the conversation with South Africa. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm joined by Excellency Lyubov Abritova, who is an ambassador of Ukraine to South Africa. We are, you know, ambassador obviously has a wealth of diplomatic experience and insight into Ukraine perspective on critical matters. As I've pointed out earlier, we are scheduled to have, or we have been duly informed that the president of Ukraine, President Zelensky, will be coming to South Africa to go, you know, on the basis of a bilateral agreement with the country. And before we took that short break, we got a sense from the ambassador here that the conversation will focus on bilateral agreements and also geopolitical landscape as an extent to which Russia's impunity is going to be put on the spotlight. Moving on, Ambassador, one of the critical issues that is concerning both countries is obviously the economic and humanitarian impact. Could you elaborate on the current situation in Ukraine concerning both economy and humanitarian conditions?
This is a very broad and complex question, as it has different dimensions. As you can imagine, war is tackling different spheres of Ukraine's existence and lives of ordinary people, and also the economy of Ukraine. We are under endless, constant and heavy Russian strikes against Ukrainian cities, but also deliberately against Ukrainian infrastructure. Russia continues to intimidate and terrorize Ukrainian civilians by attacking the critical infrastructure, residential areas. Last night, it was with a huge number of missiles and aerial bombs, drones. So the casualties and destructions are significant. During the full-scale invasion, just for our listeners to appreciate the scope of those attacks, Russians launched over 300 missiles on the territory of Ukraine. And every month, the occupiers drop at least 4,000 guided aerial bombs. So you can imagine that even if Ukraine receives enough of support of the partners to be able to protect our people and our cities from these attacks, the debris that are falling down are also detecting the infrastructure, and there are consequences on the ground. So it is devastating. But another phase of the war is, of course, the damage to cultural heritage, and Russian aggression destroys Ukraine's cultural heritage with same deliberation as it does to infrastructure. I will explain it clearly that Russia is tackling Ukraine's cultural and historic heritage, the places that are under the protection of UNESCO. Some of them, those sites that survived during the First and Second World War. So the scale is unseen since World War II. And so far, it damaged more than 2,000 objects of cultural infrastructure, including libraries, museums, galleries, theaters, cinemas, philharmonics, and, of course, different monuments and pieces of architecture. Meantime, infrastructure such as educational one, the kindergartens, the schools, universities are under constant attacks. It is impacting all the sides of the life of ordinary Ukrainians, from sports to environment. So it's what we call it has really different ugly faces, this war. And of course, this is the situation. It's nothing like I can describe during my interviews every day with the same numbers, because the numbers are fluid and sometimes the evaluation is not possible to be made with the regularity. So I'm giving you those numbers that maybe would be valid 1 week ago, but obviously the last week we've seen an incredible increase of attacks, and it's not getting better. That's the situation on the ground.
That is quite gruesome indeed, as you're giving us. We've seen it in various media, the kind of damage, but you obviously have more upper hand in terms of understanding the granularity of the damage that has been caused by the Russian war, and it's quite devastating indeed. To hear that the cultural artifacts, have been destroyed, historical monuments have been destroyed, libraries, as theaters, as you've pointed out, have been destroyed, and the schools, infrastructure, as well as universities, are obviously under attack. So these are some of the, issues that you've put to us to sensitize South Africans in the context of the impending visit by President Zelensky to South Africa to try and have a conversation with our president down here. As we move forward, I mean, in this particular context, we have seen last week how the visit to the U.S., wherein there was obviously glaring tension between President Zelensky as well as President Trump. To what extent is the image that you've seen in the U.S. and the extent to which it has withdrawn or threatened to withdraw military support to Ukraine impacting on the longevity or perhaps maybe ceasefire between the two countries?
You see, we have to understand very clearly what has been happening for the last 11 years in Ukraine, and particularly the last 3 years after the full-scale invasion of Russia in Ukraine started. Ukraine has been protecting and defending itself. And this is the core of the answer to your question. Assistance that we have been receiving generously from many countries, and which we are really dearly appreciating, including that one from the United States. I mean, this is already in the history of our relations. We never will be stopping being appreciating and grateful for those who supported us, the people, through different ways, including by granting us the assistance to survive. We always will be grateful that we were able to not allow Putin to get over and to take Ukraine in 3 days, and that we were able to show to the world that we can resist the second largest army in the world, that people stand together united for the values, for the principles, for the core of the United Nations Charter. People can be united internally, but also can unite. And this is the process of the unification of the world, unprecedented since the end of the world. The implications in case of stopping assistance to Ukraine or even lowering it down definitely would affect on our capability to protect our people, our cities, and will cause even more damage to what we just were discussing with you. And that is why it is so crucial for us to have dialogues with every single partner, including the United States. It is crucial for us to explain what is really the brutal ambition of Russia. We don't have right to stop protecting our country and our cause. And that's exactly what we've seen that our president has been doing everywhere in the world. He is explaining that for Ukraine is the war of survival, and that we jointly, only jointly, can stop Russia of its imperialistic neo-colonial ambition.
Thank you very much, Ambassador, for those insights, which are really opening our eyes as we unpack this very important issue. We want to take a quick break and we'll be back to hear more on the Ambassador of Ukraine to South Africa. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I am joined by Her Excellency Lyubov Abramovitova, who is an ambassador of Ukraine to South Africa, giving us a blow-blow-blow insight of the challenges that Ukraine is experiencing back at home, and the extent to which the president of Ukraine come to South Africa seeking solidarity with other countries so that they're able to elevate the importance of peace and show the world essentially some of the dangers of the war. She put to us that the major infrastructure is being targeted in Ukraine through missiles and bombs, which have resulted in severe damage on the infrastructural and heritage sites that have been protected by UNESCO. We're talking here libraries, we're talking theaters, we're talking different monuments. And she also put to us that educational institutions such as schools and universities are under constant attack. So that gives us a very good sense of how severe the Ukraine and Russia war. And, before we took that break, Ambassador gave us a good sense of how Ukraine has been defending itself over the past 3 years more effectively, given the fact that the war has been on for the past 10 years or so. And what I like, what the ambassador put to us is the threats by the Trump administration to withdraw support and essentially the ramification of that particular posture is quite threatening in the way she indicated to us that the war is likely to be more sustained. Hence, Zelensky is on a global platform to engage several countries so that we are all aware of the dangers of what is happening in Ukraine in terms of infrastructure and cultural heritage sites that have been demolished. As we proceed, Ambassador, I going back to the Trump administration threats, and you have put to us that the danger, the withdrawal of support would jeopardize any prospect of Ukraine regaining momentum in terms of the territories that it already safeguarded. How optimistic are you? Because, whether we like it or not, U.S. play a major role in bringing about stability. The kind of deals that Trump administration is putting forward, how unfavorable are they towards Ukraine, or favorable towards Ukraine stance? Could you just give us a sense of what is it? Because surely that would be infused in the conversation between the two presidents, i.e. President Ramaphosa as President Zelensky.
I guess it's not even about the decision, it's decisions. It's just and framed, though decisions will be. This is what's important. And we shouldn't lose the focus here on the peace and just peace solution, because it sounds like we are discussing how Ukraine constantly can protect itself from constant Russian attacks. But actually what we should be talking here and in every country of the world is that Ukraine for all these years has been trying to find a diplomatic solution. It did. And you could argue with me, but Ukraine doesn't even have the diplomatic relations anymore with Russia, and how would that be possible? Now, I want to remind to all of us that since the beginning of invasion, more than 200 different negotiations with different players and participants and mediators in it who are happening between Ukraine and Russia in order to find just solution for Russia to be withdrawn from the sovereign territory of Ukraine. And it's either these discussions were never having the expected effect, they were not followed, the agreements were never followed by Russian side. Important here is that as in tango, there must be two. There must be two sides that are willing the just peace. And yet what Russia is showing that it doesn't want peace and it doesn't want to stop its war of aggression. So very clearly, I want to emphasize that Ukrainians want peace more than anybody else in this situation and in this world probably. But Ukraine needs a just peace, not to allow Russia anytime soon or later to be able to attack Ukraine or any other country. And we have to really listen very attentively and carefully for the statements. These statements of Russian side, whereas it's really threatening to not only Ukraine, but to a bigger number of countries, which means that it has got the aspiration to continue the war on the bigger stage. So Ukraine and the world should be really interested in bringing the just peace, the peace that will be regulated by the norms and principles of international law, of United Nations Charter, that will have, and I think it will really touch and reflect in South African hearts the importance of accountability for the crimes that were committed and have been committed in Ukraine. We didn't touch on many faces, other faces of this war. We didn't speak about the children, thousands of children that were abducted and still not in Ukraine, they're on Russian territory. We are not talking about the prisoners of war and politically people who are politically accused and detained in Russian institutions. So it's really very crucial to have a very broad, fair and open discussion on how we can force Russia to peace, but already how can we sustain this peace? And that's why it's important for all the countries to realize that in the contemporary world, one has to be strong to have peace. And the slogan would be here, peace for, through the strength. And Ukraine has to grow strong to be able to have peace further.
Thank you very much, Ambassador, for those insights that are really beginning to give us a good sense and a deeper and a meaningful sense of the dialogue that is about to take place between South Africa as well as the Ukraine. And through these kind of conversations, we're becoming more and more enlightened in terms of the granularities and the importance of what you defer to as a just peace, a peace that has been regulated by the UN Charter. We're going to take a break. When you're coming back to the break, you have touched a very important point around some of the humanitarian impact of the Russian war, particularly, children, prisoners, and much more broadly, because these are obviously the aftermath or some of the challenges that we obviously need to speak about. It's, ultimately the war speaks to humans and human beings who have been dislodged and displaced. And the damage is generational, if not multi-generational, Let's do that when you come back in a second.
This is Beyond Governance with Dr. Nimrod Mbele on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I am joined by Her Excellency Lyubov Avritova, who is the ambassador of Ukraine to South Africa, giving us a sense of the diplomatic tensions that are simmering and the extent to which the president of Ukraine is going and engaging world leaders to try and find a just a peace that is desperately needed by by people from Ukraine, given the onslaught that they have endured over the past actually 3 years. But the war, we have been told, has been there for a longest time. And most importantly, the visit will obviously try and find as many or gun as many international countries as possible to, you know, to try and push or bring about an end through diplomatic means to bring about an end to Russian war in Ukraine. Before we took that short break, Ambassador, you emphasize the need for just peace, which is obviously the central ethos which I'm picking up from our conversation, and the UN Charter. Obviously, the UN Charter is obviously will be form the basis for this kind of engagement. To what extent do you think other countries are lurking in pushing the Ukraine agenda forward? What is that you would hope to see more of a push? Is the push about ammunition towards Ukraine, or is the push about broader dialogue that would sensitize everyone else to have a middle ground, so to speak, a win-win? What would be a win-win for you mean as a country?
It is a complex question and complicated. Because if we speak about this while Russia is attacking us and we need the protection in order to save the very existence of Ukraine and of Ukrainians, then this becomes the priority for all the country and for every person. And that what comes to negotiations and the key messages of every international engagement. If through political and maybe sanctions, we don't have to underestimate the effect of those on Russian economy, we can force Russia to peace, then another mechanisms are starting to go in front of us, which is the assistance economically to overcome the challenges that already and the damages that already caused by invasion. I think that if I understand your question, the core of your question correctly, is what kind of composition of discussions in the world can happen and what can help us to achieve the lasting and just peace, and who can play the role in that. And I want to again reiterate what has been said many times by Ukrainian side, that this must be an inclusive platform, because the peace project must be so inclusive, because it did affect every single country in the world, whether it's strong or developing, whether it's big or small. Thus, every single country has right to engage and participate and bring its opinion. That is why the visit of President Zelensky is so important, because South Africa can play, and I'm sure that already is playing the role in its position towards how the global rules, the new setup of global rules, if you want, will look like. So it's important for both Ukraine, but also for South Africa. The world is carefully watching by which means and what kind of solution will be found in this particular setup of huge violations of international, of humanitarian, of human rights laws, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah. No, thank you very much, Ambassador. These are very interesting insights that you shared with us, really giving us the depth of complexity of the issues. I do like the idea of inclusive project because the just and sustainable peace cannot be done by one or two countries. It has to pretty much involve all the countries, given the fact that essentially we were all affected. I mean, when the war started, South Africa suffers immensely because we import a lot of agricultural products from Ukraine, and we've seen prices of bread soaring, the prices of oil soaring, and other products. So it is in our best interest as South Africans to try and elevate more of these issues, for it has really hit us in the pocket. But most importantly, this is about humanitarian effort to try and bring about peace. For you've really painted a very good picture in terms of how the war has affected ordinary people, how the war has affected the key institutions of the country. That will take a while to rebuild. Others will not even be rebuilt, given the fact that these are historical monuments. So it is important that we all put shoulders to the wheel to elevate, these kind of issues via a conversation. But coming back to Africa, because Africa has had a very good relationships with Ukraine, and so is other countries. What is the dialogue expecting to do within African communities, the extent to which could literally address some of the issues that Ukraine is experiencing? What is it that you are expecting Cyril Ramaphosa to do and through the African Union in terms of these issues?
We are getting a little bit broader now than just South Africa, but also already on the African Union. And I do believe that with the leverage that South Africa has got on the continent, it will be very important for countries of Africa and of the African Union, of course, as the institution that unites it, that is growing into the bigger economic and political alliance more than ever. It will be important to see what issues will be unfolding and perspectives, of course, will be unfolding during this engagement between the two presidents. It is to be seen what we will achieve, but the message that we are sending today through this engagement is probably should be very optimistic one, and it is one. Why? Because we have to remind ourselves that every challenge also brings opportunities. And when we find the just solution, when we will be in the setup of the security guarantees for Ukraine, and this is very crucial and important for Europe, for the region, of course, but also for the entire world, that we could provide sustainable and lasting peace. When that would be achieved, there are numbers of opportunities that are coming out. And as I say, that with the challenge comes the opportunity. You know that we didn't touch on another side of the war. We spoke about the cultural and educational effects and effects to or consequences for the infrastructure of Ukraine. But what we didn't mention is that 25% of the country of Ukraine remains potentially contaminated with the Russian mines. So this is the most mine-polluted country in the world. And one could think that this is actually the big challenge. But I want to say, but this is also the opportunity to collaborate. And there is a lot of different sectors and layers where Ukraine, because of this pollution or because of the invasion, was able to develop the unique skills and technologies. Many countries, including African countries, would benefit and would need. So the discussion definitely will be watched by with great interest and, if I can say so, appetite by the African Union countries while we are here.
Well, thank you very much, Ambassador. If you could just go back to, you know, APEP maybe did not get clarity on the 25% of 35% of Ukraine's land that has been polluted. Did I hear you correct? And also picked up that, you know, you spoke about wines. Can you just maybe clarify that for us and the listeners so that we comprehend exactly what has been said?
So Ukraine has been mine polluted or mined by Russian troops, particularly those territories that were deliberated initially after invasion started. So the estimation of mine polluted territory is that nearly 139,000 square kilometers, or about 25% of the country's total area, remain potentially contaminated with Russian mines and UXO. Since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, sappers have returned only 35,000 square kilometers of Ukrainian land to use. Last year, 17,000 square kilometers were returned to use, but the demining program it is huge and big for years ahead, and this is the part of the repercussions of Russian invasion of Ukraine. So we work with partners and ourselves, of course, internally on a different development of different products or relevant equipments. And we are looking forward to engage with other countries and organizations that can support us with the work that will need to be done to clean that areas.
That's quite a huge 25% of the land that has been mined. Obviously, that seriously affects the productivity or the production side of any square meters that has been mined. And obviously, demining that you know portion of the land is going to be a huge ask. And you already shared with us some of the unique skills that are emerging. I like your sense of positive attitude, Your Excellency. In that you're constantly reminding us that every challenge brings opportunities. And could you just maybe one, what sort of opportunities that or unique skills that are emerging from the war, that is, if you cast our eyes on the brighter side, which is yet to come, despite the war itself?
It's very easy to answer, because the long-hanging answer would be the Ukraine's digital transformation that happened. And I guess our listeners will receive it with great interest, because the digital transformation became one of the pillars of economic development of Ukraine since Russia started its invasion. And Ukraine has a number of achievements in this field. We were able to develop the Ukrainian technology industry, develop more than 5,000 technology companies and over 300,000 highly skilled professionals, driving the global tech markets. Ukraine's tech companies collaborate with such companies like Amazon, Apple, IBM, Cisco, Google, FedEx, and many others. Ukraine has become the country that had to, but actually is using today, the electronic ID document, that one that is recognized to travel. That obviously was because the number of people that had to move within and outside of Ukraine was very huge. Ukraine developed the platforms where through digitalization, through the digital projects and products, Ukrainians can do many things of everyday life online. The person who gave birth can actually get the birth certificate online. And this is the skill and the product that is available, and Ukraine is very willing to share how we are doing and how we are protecting the data. So this is only one part of the story to be told about our successes, and that is why I sound not pretending, very proud, and say that there are also the positive things that came out, not intendedly, but now very organizingly in Ukraine.
Thank you very much, Ambassador, for your very thought-provoking insights and the energy that you have shared with us. And I hope South Africans, and I know South Africans who are the listeners of the show and throughout the continent, as it were, would certainly take some of these key messages to heart. And we are wishing in the conversation between our president and your president a very useful and productive engagement, so that the whole world could know the kind of challenge that Ukraine is facing, and perhaps maybe after the conversation we could move more and more closer towards just peace. Your final words, Ambassador?
I would say that we are very much looking forward for this visit. This visit is the also result of joint work of different institutions and civil society organizations. What it will be more important, and it's what will be the follow-up of those engagements after receiving the positive and good signals after this engagement. We just have to be more open to discover and to learn about each other, to ruin stereotypes that existed between our nations and our countries. We have to identify ourselves as the reliable and promising and important, the complementary partners who can emerge with the showcasing of win-win collaborations in different sectors, from science and technologies to and education and digitalization to, of course, more practical things like mining and food security. And the embassy is here to help and assist and to guide. We very much encourage our listeners to learn more about Ukraine, and there are different platforms how it's possible to do so, and also follow our social media, follow our web pages. We're trying with all the possible means, modest means that we have, because all the means today are to protect our people. But here we're trying with those means to keep relevance for South Africans. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you so much, Ambassador, for your time. And that was, if you've just, you know, been listening, that is the parting shot From a very interesting conversation with Her Excellency Lyubov Avritova, who is an ambassador of Ukraine to South Africa. In today's conversation, we highlighted the complexity of South Africa's Diplomatic Balancing Act and the broader implication of global conflicts on governance and international relations. As the world becomes increasingly interconnected, the choices of nations make on a global stage resonate far beyond their borders. Ukraine's outreach to South Africa signals, in our view, an evolving dynamic in global diplomacy, one that challenges us to rethink neutrality, rethink solidarity, rethink strategic partnerships. It has been absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much, Your Excellency.
Thank you very much.